Blog Talk Radio.
February 1st, 2013, Charlotte, North Carolina, broadcasting live. This is The Last Word, and I'm Michael Lawson, without Thomas Fortenberry for a second week. He's out gallivanting somewhere. I have no idea where he's at. He hasn't called in, but he said he would call in. This has been some day. I want to tell you, we have a nice day out there. I don't know what the temperature was. The last time I checked, it was, I think it was like 50 degrees. So I think we're doing quite well. 41 degrees. Ooh, kind of a little chilly. But, listen, we're all right. Everything is kosher. Everything is everything, you know what I mean? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so funny with these regressive party people are doing. I mean to tell you, I have never seen anything like this in my whole entire life. These people are so whack. They are so whack with every single thing they are doing that it just gets me crazy. Oh, what do we have trending today? Well, can you actually believe how dumb the people in Texas are? Can you actually believe how dumb the people in Texas are? Two out of every three regressive party members and people, Republicans in Texas, think the president or want the president to be impeached because he is thinking about doing something against the Second Amendment. Not that he has any power to do anything about the Second Amendment at all. Not that he has any power to do anything about the Second Amendment at all. He has no power. He's the president. He's in charge of the executive branch. He does not make laws. What don't these... Well, you see, this is the problem. They had problems before with history in Texas to the point where they thought they could secede from the Union. Now they're rewriting the books even the other direction, even more, that they're not going to know anything about science or history. The only thing that the people in Texas will be able to do is, you know what? I don't know what they're going to be able to do. That's a very good question. That is a they won't know history. They won't know science. Let's see. They only have one channel on the TV set. You know, you're absolutely right. I don't know what these people will be able to do in Texas. Their becoming is about as dumb can get. And ladies and gentlemen, we do have to talk about, just for a moment, 1 minute, the mayor of, former mayor of New York City, Ed Koch, who passed away either this morning or last night. My mother, who worked for the city during his administration, could not stand him. She was in management, sanitation department, payroll division. She said he was so about himself. He had a saying, how am I doing? Well, if people could tell him without getting fired, he would have known how he was doing. This is someone who was Republican, who turned Democrat, turned independent, or either turned independent and then turned Democrat. I mean, he was about getting elected. He didn't care where he was. He was going to get elected. And, you know, he got beat by a black man, David Dinkins, which didn't go over too well with him. And as soon as he got out of office, his true stripes came out. He went completely hard right to the ultra side, to the other side. The only thing that he was in favor of was gay rights. He never changed that. But he was ultra conservative. He should have stayed a Republican. So, you know, but he did do a couple of good things now and then. You know, it's just like, you know, to keep people happy, you have to give a little cake once in a while. Well, that's what he did, Dave Dinkins. Not Dave Dinkins, Ed Koch. And then we have the mongrel from Wasilla herself, who was separated from Fox News, ending her 3-year tenure. Oh, as a contributor? No, she was not. She didn't contribute anything. They paid her $1 million to come on the air and say stupid things. Well, they said, you know, we're tired of hearing the same old stupid things. She never even changed her sentence. I mean, at least Hannity sometimes changes the words in the sentence. So you say, well, did he say that before? Well, it doesn't matter if he said it before because it amounts to the same thing. She never changed the words. She said the same thing over and over. Well, that's because you only have a vocabulary that only has about 25 words in it. You know, the shine wore off Fox very fast. You know, in the Palin's lawyer in Alaska said he had no immediate response to the exit of Palin's appearance on Fox last December, but on the Greta Van Susteren show, Palin signed to deliver commentary on Fox on January 2010, reportedly for $1 million a year. It was supposed, it was thought of at that time as a coup for Fox. The former Alaska governor was a little more than a year removed from her attention-getting run as vice president and was considered a leading contender in 2012. But everybody and their mother knew that if she ran in 2012, I don't think there would have been any seats left for the Republicans. I think Democrats, Republicans, would have voted for the Democrats. So, you know, that was the end of that. And she saw the handwriting on the wall. She said, let me make everything I can right now because there won't be anything left when they find out that I don't know jack. When Katie Kirk asked her, you know, what books do you read? She said, oh, I read all of them. She couldn't name a comic book. You know, sometimes those comic books are pretty deep. Unless you read the 1942 Superman series, you know, they only had about one or two characters in it. So maybe she could have followed along with that. I know my grandson, both my grandsons, watched Peppa Pig. You know, a cartoon character about a pig family. And Peppa, they speak with English accents. Peppa Pig, is one of the characters. She's the star, a little girl. And Peppa is a lot smarter than the lunatic from Wasilla. When Palin announced that she would not be a candidate in 2012, her shine went down the tubes. And it didn't sit well with Fox or on Facebook or any place else. And her appearances started being weaned. You know, and 4 years from that date, where we are right now, hey. Yeah, and look, what do we owe this to? Who do we owe the mongrel from Wasilla to? That bitter old puffed out cheeks of a man. You know who? The man who practically sank his own aircraft carrier. The man who graduated last in his class at the Naval Academy. The man who never would have been in the Naval Academy if his father wasn't the vice chair of the Pacific Fleet. The man who had to marry into money because he wouldn't have made a dime when he was on his own. We all know who we're talking about. Jonathan McCain. The weasel from Arizona. Normally, I wouldn't even talk about a vet because, you know, they served this country and they faced the bullets. But McCain would not have been in the military if it wasn't for his father. That was his father's destiny. You notice he didn't make it past you know what. Now, we say, yeah, he was captured for 7 years, 6 or 7 years. Yes, I had a lot to do with it. And I will never dishonor that man's service while he was a captive. So I'm not talking about his service record. I'm talking about he's a bitter old man that will never forget that a black man kicked his ass in 2008. In front of 120 or 130 million people. That's what he can't stand. And he's been trying to prove it ever since. So, getting back on the mongrel from Wasilla, the... 4 years ago, removed from her vice presidential candidacy, Palin's influence had waned, and she was somewhat overshadowed by you-know-who, the Fox Karl Rove. And Rove recently said, you know, they need to get rid of her. She's dragging us down. So, you know, hey. Looking at the right now in the cycle, it says unemployment has in retail, construction, healthcare, factories, and mining has all gone up. Dow Jones is over 14,000, the first time in 7 years. Right before Jr. screwed up this economy. Well, he really screwed up the economy when he came into office, because that was the detriment to this economy, because we went downhill from there. We went downhill fast. I mean, two wars that weren't paid for, Iraq and Afghanistan, or Afghanistan then Iraq, a prescription drug plan that was not paid for, a tax breaks for the upper 2% that was not paid for, because they couldn't ever make it look like a Democratic president made money for all the people. No. We were in the black until Junior came in, and the first thing they tried to do, not try to do, the first thing they did was kill that surplus. Afghanistan, Iraq, unpaid for drug plan, and a tax break for the upper 2%. Wiped out. It not only wiped out $3 or $4 billion surplus, but it drove us into a $3 billion deficit. That's over a six billion dollar swing. I mean, that was right away. It was such a drastic change. Hey, the people on Wall Street, the bankers, said, hey, let's make money here. Ain't nobody watching the store. Let's do. And they did, and they did, and they did. So, I tell you what. The man from Chicago, who is a local hero and a community organizer, has dug us out of the deepest pit in our economy in this country since the 1930s, the Great Depression. He did it without one damn regressive party vote. He closed the war down in Iraq. He is going to close the war down in Afghanistan. He brought us back from the brink with the economy and brought the Dow Jones from 6,000 back to over 14,000. Just like he said in his campaign promise. And the other reason why Guantanamo is not closed, because the Progressive Party and the House would not pass the bill. They have fought him at every single turn.
I know exactly what he'll tell you, lies. He was no different from any other officer in the wardroom. They were all disloyal. I tried to run the ship properly with a book, but they fought me at every turn.
And that's what he did. They fought him at every turn. And they lied. Every other word out of their mouth was a lie. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Right now, the Dow Jones is 14,003, up 142.97 points today. So everybody that was buying stocks, dollar cost averaging, you made a lot of money since this president's been in office. You made a lot of money. That's right. As a matter of fact, remember the old saying from The Godfather? We were bigger than U.S. Steel, and we made money for all our partners. Well, this president has made money for everybody in the country that was invested. And when these regressive party people tell you he's stealing $716 trillion out of Medicare, that's an outright lie. What needed to be done was get rid of Part D. All that money that's going into Part D needs to go into Part A and Part B, back where it belongs, because those private insurance affiliates was just a giveaway project by the Bush administration to them, because they've always wanted to get into Medicare. And that's how they let them get in. They don't need to be in. They don't need to be in. They need to close down Part D, and the money we spend on Part D giving these insurance companies needs to go into A and B. And he said, well, he's using $716 billion to put in Obamacare. That's a lie! That $716 billion that he's taking out is the bill and is the money that the daggone insurance companies are making. That's what that is. That's not money coming out of your pocket. That doesn't affect one single person's prescription drug or one single person's service. That money comes out. That's how much money these people are making. You see, some people can't comprehend that these people are making this money. Well, they are. These insurance companies are making money coming out of their ears. We're the only country in the world that's still paying for a drug that was invented in 1820. We're still paying the R&D. Come on, people. You need to wake up. We got to get rid of this type of prescription drug program and be the marketing. I don't even get drugs in this country anymore. When I'm sick, I get my prescription and I go to Canada to get it. I go to Canada, check it in Canada, and I check it with Medco here. What do you think Medco is? Medco is a prescription drug plan that's owned by the insurance companies. And the whole thing with Medco is to close out, provide you with a cheaper drug, the same drug that you go to the drugstore for that might cost you $75 or $100 of capsule or tablet. You can get Medco for $35 or $25 a capsule. Why? Because what they want to do is push all the private pharmacies out of business. And they want to only have the large pharmacies like Walmart, Walgreens, all those pharmacies that are owned by insurance companies. Yes, dears. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Those outlets that you think you're getting your prescription drugs from are owned by insurance companies. They're owned by insurance companies. So, you start looking at where to get your drugs from. That's what you need to do. But we also need to pressure the insurance companies. We need to pressure the insurance companies and the federal government. The federal government, we need to tell them, look, we do not want to pay for R&D prescription drugs anymore that have already been on the market for 20 and 30 years. They say, oh, no, don't get the drug from Canada. Don't get it from Mexico. Don't get it from England. Why? It's the same drug. It's produced in Jersey half the time and sent overseas. And when you get it from overseas, where do you think they're getting it from? They're getting it from Jersey. And it's still costing you less than if you got it directly. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, let me take a little sip of coffee here. That's what I did do. I didn't take my pills yet. That coffee's getting cold. I'll put it in the microwave in a minute. But anyway, so these are some of the things that are trending today. I got up on a tangent with my preaching. Oh, but you know what? had a show a few weeks back, and I was listening to it, and I need to go back over that again. And I'm not going to do it today because we have too much to talk about today. But I'm going to talk about it. Matter of fact, I think I'll talk about it in the next couple of days, next couple of weeks. Ted Nugent, who did, as my four-year-old says, boo-boos in his pants. Ted Nugent needs to wear a big diaper because that's what happened to him because he was so scared of going into the military. He boo-booed in his pants and wet himself. And the military people down at the recruiting office told him to get the hell out of here. But yet, he talks so big and bad. Oh, man, yeah, I'm going to get my gun. You know, the ones that always talk about getting their gun, that's because they don't have a gun, a real gun that's part of their body. They have a water pistol, a little tiny water pistol. So they think that the bigger the gun, the bigger Remington, the bigger AK they have, that makes them more like a man. Well, maybe they need some Viagra. But you know what? I don't even think Viagra would help them. You know, the Sean Hannitys and the Tim Duncans and the Rush Limbaughs and the... Oh, you know what? That reminds me. I have a, and I wasn't going to get into it, but I, you know, sometimes I get off a little off track here. But the, they have a, on my AAC website, I have a, and I'm going to update it. But you should go in there. You can find out all those who served in the military, and you'll notice that 95% of the Republicans did not serve, and about 75% of them had an excuse. Oh, I had a little pimple in my rear end. Oh, my feet were flat. Oh, I had other things better to do. Tricky Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, seven deferments. He got the line so well when he came down there last week. No, I'm not going to lie. Look, I got better things to do. That was his last one. We're going to be talking about these, the Chuck Hagel Senate hearings. Chuck Hagel, Man for All Seasons. We're going to talk again about that bitter old man, John McCain, and the other lying coward, Lindsey Graham, who used to have on his website that he was in military service, and it suddenly disappeared because he was in the reserve, but he never left South Carolina. He was a lawyer. That means he didn't even do any work. He did nothing. We're going to talk about him. And then we're also going to talk about this other fat coward, Wayne LaPierre. Wayne LaPierre, who said that criminals don't obey the laws, so why do we have to have laws? Because they don't obey them anyway. Well, no, they're right. Why do we need a stop sign? People run the red light. People run the stop sign. Why? They should take down all the stop signs. Why do we need, red, green, yellow lights? Take them down. People go past them every day. I mean, it doesn't make sense. You know, what's that, laws of major revolting? Who said that? Must have been Wayne LaPierre. But that's what he's saying. He said, we can't do anything that will infringe our Second Amendment rights. And you know, they got this this woman, Trotter. What's her name? Trotter. Who is so whack. This woman, I saw her on TV the other day, and she is a freaking winner. She is so brain dead. Gail Trotter. I cannot believe. Did anybody see her? You can give me a call, 646-716-5242. But we're going to be going to a, you know, you can make that like at 4:30 or so, because we're going to be in another minute or so. We're going to be going to our second part, our part two of our interview with Reverend Kodjo Nantembu. And I got it right that time, Reverend. Nantembu and Mr. Rodriguez, Luis, on the HKMJ, which everybody needs to understand, it's going to be a marvelous affair. HKMJ is Saturday, February the 9th, 2013, and it starts at Shore University, South Street in Raleigh, North Carolina. Be there or be square. There's going to be thousands there. And you can call the Reverend to get information. You can call also, let's see, you can call up there and speak to, let's see, I don't know who doesn't say who to speak to up there, but you can call, do I have the Reverend's info here? Let me see if I have the Reverend's info here. Oh, yes, I do. You can call Reverend Kodjo Nantembu at 704-599-8904, who's the president of the Charlotte branch of the NAACP, and he's also the pastor of Green Oak Missionary Baptist Church. You can reach him there at 704-534-7853. Or you can call Luis Rodriguez, who is the community organizer for Action North Carolina. And both these two organizations are working very hard to get you to come up for the HKMJ March. You can reach Luis at 704-625-4050. That's 625-4050, area code 704. And we have the second part of our interview that I had with both those two gentlemen, which we are going to play right now.
This is part two of our interview with Reverend Kodjo Nantembu. Is that correct?
Nantembu.
I said it right on the show, though.
You did.
And Luis Rodriguez. And I played for you, Reverend Kodjo, a tag from the TV series Justified.
Yes, sir.
Just a little bit ago. And tell me what you thought of that. Let me set the stage for the people who hadn't heard Justified. Justified is a TV series that it's about the U.S. Marshal, and he's come back to his home state of Kentucky, and all the ramification that goes on in his life and in the TV series. But it gives us a stark reality of, in some cases, desperation of some of the people who don't have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them have been, I shouldn't say all of them, about 90% of the characters are white. They are in desperate need. They have, some have grocery stores, but most of them are selling drugs, or most of the people we've met, and because we've only seen them through the eyes of the Marshals Department. So we can't say that all the people in the story are this way.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a situation in this particular storyline, which was week two, where the marshal and his boss and another agent go out and trying to find this guy named Waldo. And it talks about how important it was that people's Social Security and disability checks and Medicare checks mean to them.
Right.
And this particular line, they told the people that if they didn't get the information about where Waldo was, they were going to stop the Social Security. It was a disability check. So, Reverend, tell us.
Well, one of the major ploys that has been used by the federal government and the conservatives for the last 40 years since Reagan is what I call propaganda antagonism. Propaganda used to be used to dishearten people, to debilitate people, make people lose heart about what was going on. But in this country, they've used what is called propaganda antagonism. They use the propaganda to antagonize the lower classes and to separate the lower classes. And one of the things they do is they talk about welfare, government subsidy or government programs, and make poor whites and less fortunate white Americans feel that African Americans and other minorities are getting much more than what they're getting. They feel like we don't have a right to the same things they're getting. So they join those conservatives in fighting against us, not realizing they're fighting against themselves. And the same tactics and ploys are being used expertly, very significantly by the reigning party, by this Congress, by all of its representatives. And they're doing a good job of making it feel like Obama is responsible for all of this extra welfare and this extra subsidy that people are getting and these entitlements, when the only increase in subsidy, the only increase in unemployment came during the Bush administration. It escalated at the end of the Bush administration with the economic recession or whatever it is we had. Actually, it was a depression. So it was expected that people would get more unemployment checks, more Social Security, more disability, because more people were out of the economic zone where they could take care of themselves. But they promote this because those are what they've been calling dog whistle words. And they start talking about entitlements and welfare to ignite, to antagonize, to embitter poor whites, especially in Appalachia and the southern states and, you know, those areas like that where poor whites have still lingered in areas of America where they have not had very much upward mobility. But those same people will go and vote, and they will push the agenda for the ultra-conservatives, so thinking that they're hurting us. But what statistics have shown, even since the days of Ronald Reagan when he started talking about the welfare Cadillac, is that the major portion of this country, the major people in this country that get welfare is white America. They get 53% to 60% of all welfare. I think African Americans was only getting 12% to 13%. But most of all the money that is spent in this country for welfare for people is less than 3% of the national budget.
And not cutting you off, but they always use, the Progressive Party and the ultra-conservatives always use the excuse that, oh, no, they get more because they're using the fact that there's less of us, so therefore we're getting a bigger cut of the pie.
Right, exactly. But, see, that's very, what I would say, a very distorted vision, because most of the subsidies given out in this country is given to big corporations, especially military-industrial corporations. They get more government subsidy than anybody. They just don't call it welfare, and they get it. And the drug companies get welfare. They get our tax money to help them do research that when they find a drug, they sell it to us for exorbitant prices, and then they'll go to Canada and other countries and sell it to the people there cheaper than they sell it to us, and we made it.
That's because the other countries have a law that says they can only go to a certain level.
Exactly.
And they can't go any higher in the prices.
And the drug companies here won't even,
that's right,
they lobby so our congressmen, our so-called elected officials, won't even institute those same prerequisites to protect us. So the welfare situation and talking about President Obama as a welfare president or the food stamp president is only a racist, bigoted ploy, you know, to make this country more divided, but to blame that division on him. Like he's going around saying, oh, I'm going to stop taking care of certain people and take more care. He has never made any statements in that capacity. None of his actions, none of his political or policy actions have been exercised in that capacity. Only people talk about him. And the people that are talking about him are the ones who are actually trying to create the division. This is why we have to go on this march, is because the people are so uneducated and uninformed about what's really happening in this country, what's really happening in this state, and who is actually the perpetrators of this division, and even more the perpetrators of this new regime to just get rid of the poor, to castigate the poor, to just get rid of the poor and the needy, and to stop making sure that we have what we deserve. And what we deserve is what we have worked hundreds of years and put into by paying taxes and other things. Everybody in this country, regardless whether you've worked at all, somebody in your family has worked and paid taxes, whether it's state tax or federal tax, somebody. And people have paid taxes to make sure that the programs that were put in place by Roosevelt and others and by Wilson, that we would benefit from them. And we're still paying into them. So for them to say that after all the money that they steal, you know, especially when we talk about Wall Street and the fact that Wall Street has seen over 1,000%, a 9,000% increase in the last 20 years, but yet the average American is only getting less money than he got 40 years ago. So there's no, you know, if people don't look and they just listen, they're going to hear the wrong thing. But if they begin to engage and address, as we want people to do, to go to this march on February the 9th in Raleigh, they'll begin to hear evidence and information that will correct their thinking, correct their understanding, and give them a much more clearer outlook as what's happening to us. They're trying to take all of the rights, all of the privileges, all of the resources that are necessary to sustain a family, to sustain a community, to sustain a life in America if you're poor. And they're trying to legitimize it by saying that we're wasting money on the poor. How can you waste money on people who are sick and dying? How can you waste money on your children who need an education? How can you waste money on your elderly? You know, it is ridiculous. This is the richest country in the world, and it has the poorest health care system in the world because everybody else has national health care. Even Cuba, the country they hate, that says all of these bad things about.
Well, but they always say, but as soon as you get sick, everybody wants to come here to get that. Well, see, they're not coming here for health care. They're coming here for the doctors. We have the best doctors. But the health care is what is being distributed. These people, health care is different from having a doctor operate.
But I'm going to differ with you on that. We may not even have the best doctors. We may have the best training. But the best doctors are those who care the most about the people and try to collect the less. And to even say that we got the best system, I differ with you on that, because in his last term, Bush refused to allow a medical discovery from Cuba to come to America, which was guaranteed to improve the health care of those with cancer. It was almost guaranteed to help turn cancer around. And he refused because it was coming from cancer. How stupid can you be?
Well, you know, I don't know if I quite agree with you on that, but see, that's up to debate. You're absolutely correct with that. But the way we provide health care is like 27th in the world.
The way
we provide health care.
Right.
And realistically, it's not health care.
Right, but if you're providing it in such a way that it is so deplete,
right,
then you don't have a really good system.
You don't have a good system.
Like if you go to Holland today, or if you go somewhere, let's say England today, or somewhere over there in Europe, you can go to the hospital right there and get an operation the same day, and ain't nobody going to worry you about no bill. You can be here for the rest of your life, pay taxes all of your life. You go to the hospital, they want to know who's going to pay. If you don't have no money to pay, you might need to go in, and you don't. You don't get in.
Well, that's true. Now, even though you're supposed to.
Even though you're supposed,
supposed to.
Oh, no, I just went, year before last, I had back trouble, and I went to the hospital over 17 times, to the emergency room, because my back was so messed up. They did not admit me at all, and told me they would not admit me, because I didn't have any insurance, and still don't have any insurance. It was by the grace of God that a specialist told him, though, he was going to operate on me, and for me, because he was a godly man, and said he wanted me to be admitted. I got a $50,000 hospital bill. But at least I was admitted. But that was by his grace, because of him. Not because of the hospital, because they weren't going to let me in. You know.
Luis.
Oh, I'm going to differ with both of you.
Oh, well, go right ahead.
Oh.
Because,
we'll come a little closer to the mic
here. The information that I've been seeing, if we're going to talk a little bit about healthcare, and I really don't want to spend too much time on that. I think that we need to talk a lot more about HK on J. But, I heard recently that
we got
3 points.
We got a little time.
I think the numbers came out for 2010 in the state of North Carolina, 300,000 patients were who went in for totally different, you know, things, a broken arm, you know, rash, whatever.
Emergency room?
Emergency or general
residence, yeah.
Got infections,
yes,
from the hospitals themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Totally unrelated,
that's right,
to what they
unrelated
went in
to what
there
they
for.
Went, right.
Okay. What I would say is that we have some of the best healthcare providers and doctors and nurses, certainly the nurses, in the world. What we have, though, well, the reason why people come to this country is for our technology.
Right.
We always have the cutting edge leading,
right,
technology.
And that's
we
what
the
training
best CAT
includes.
Scanners,
yeah,
and MRIs,
right,
and, you know, all that stuff. So I think that that's why people come here. But,
okay, but before you jump, yeah, off that, mm-hmm, you know, you said, what, 320,000 people?
Just in North Carolina.
Oh,
North Carolina.
Just in North Carolina. Well, but you see, you have to take that in the context of how many people went to the hospital. Could have been 100 million.
Okay.
Could have been 200 million, 300 million. So 320,000 is not a lot.
Okay. Well,
so
the
more times you get up at bat as a ball player, the lower your average gets.
But those are the ones we know about. What he's talking about.
So let's go a few numbers. We know that there are 350 million people in the entire United States.
Right.
What we know is that there are about roughly 19 million North Carolinians.
Right.
Okay. And for a single year, you know, not everybody's going to go to the hospital,
right,
you know, every year. Not everybody's going to get infected. But a number like 300,000 over a state that has a population of 19 million.
We only have
a
population
year
of about 5 million.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Because I thought that...
No, we ain't growing that big yet.
Isn't Charlotte a million? Charlotte,
no,
area
Charlotte
is a million,
has about
1.2.
Yeah,
we have 800,000 in the city,
right,
and 1.2,
right,
in the Charlotte,
right,
metro,
right,
area.
Only, and we're the only city that close to a million.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I'll take...
So
that's
about 4 or 5 million.
19 million is a little high.
That's, okay, so 5 million people.
Right.
That
makes
it
better.
Even better.
That's even better.
For my argument.
Right, the ratio is much better.
Out of 500 million, and I would say that we probably don't have more than 20%, say, going,
right,
to the hospital a year.
That's right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
So even that,
that's
would
right
be,
so the number
that would
is
be
very
a
high
million.
Yeah.
And that would be 1 in 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If that number is that, even if that number is high, that would be,
right,
1 in 3 people who go to the hospital,
right,
and who went to the hospital in 2010 in North Carolina, came out with an unrelated infection,
right,
that they picked up in the hospital itself.
Right.
But, yeah, but see, how do you prove they picked it up in the hospital?
Oh, well, that part.
That's a part of their
I
record.
I don't know, but that part
no
has been proven.
No. The hospital itself, because they have to document everything that's going on with the patient, when the hospitals are what should evaluate it, they have to show what a patient entered for.
Oh, yeah,
what
absolutely.
But so
that
if it happens while he's in the hospital,
right, okay,
and it had not been detected,
mm-hmm,
what you call prognosed or diagnosed before,
right,
then they contribute that to the trip,
okay,
itself. So
right,
that's why they know now that staph infections have increased,
mm-hmm,
you know, Mercer and
all
these,
all that,
and you know, and what they call the...
Well, that could have been that all along. We just keep better records.
Right,
now,
right. We just keep better records. But yes, you know, and we don't say that that's not happening with other countries as well.
Well, we don't know.
Well, we don't know. But we do know that you don't get turned away.
Well, that's true. Some of the hospitals I was over in Asia, then I wouldn't have. I'd fix myself up first. But anyway, go ahead.
All right, let's roll.
Back to another point that Reverend Kojo was making about kind of this intricate. What's it? The shell game.
Yeah.
Know, where the barker's on the street, they're moving the pebble,
right,
underneath the shell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how politics has become.
That's
it's
right.
Greater and greater intricacy of this shell game, where they say one thing, they don't mean it. They have some posturing
that's
over
right
here that doesn't lead to anything. They cast this vote, but they don't really, you know, they don't really
yeah
mean it. I heard of a regressive politician. I forget his name, but it tickled me because. He actually filibustered his own bill.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That was this year.
Yeah,
two or three
that,
of them did
oh, yeah,
that.
Was,
yeah. That was this year.
I'll
yeah
think of his name.
Two or three of them did it. Yeah.
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 To put forth legislation that you yourself
right
will work so hard because for those.
It was
McConnell filibustered.
Minority,
he wouldn't vote for his
Senate
own bill.
Right.
Yeah. And a filibuster is basically where. Correct me if I'm wrong, is basically where you hold up the process
right
so long with just idle chatter or
right
whatever that in the old days they used to go to the House floor and read literally just
read books, read
out
it,
of the,
yeah.
out of the phone book.
Read the Bible.
Just for hours and
right.
hours.
To vote for Congress.
Yeah.
The
they don't have to do that anymore.
To frustrate
see,
the opposition.
Right. They don't do that anymore with the 60 vote. That's what this filibuster
the 60
thing.
The
now
60 vote demanded.
Right, right. But
yeah.
now all they have to do is one senator
has
to
say he want a filibuster.
No, that he will not vote for the bill and it's automatically filibustered. So they don't have to actually. It's better. I like the filibuster rule, but I like it the old way with Mr. Smith.
But that's not democratic.
But that no, well,
because it gives the minority the power.
No, well, today.
Yeah.
But the other filibuster rule is where you had to go to the floor.
Yeah, you had to go to the floor.
And you had to speak.
Yeah.
And only and when you stop speaking, therefore they had to vote. So, but they don't want that anymore because these guys don't want to get you know.
But they don't because they don't want it. Because their arguments, even though they can read anything, they got to put forth at least a fundamental argument as to why they're
opposed. No, they don't have to. With
a
filibuster,
yeah,
you can read the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
You can read the Constitution.
No,
the
I know at a certain
stop,
point.
Right,
but when you stand up to start talking,
right, you have to
before you take
right.
the filibuster, you have
that's
to establish
right.
your position
you
on the
correct.
On the bill.
Correct.
And they don't
want
to do that because they don't want nobody to know where they stand.
Because
it's just like you said.
They don't have a stand.
Right. They want to play the shell game, hide their hand, and hide behind the filibuster.
They're playing this very intricate game. And the economics of that game and all this legislation, you know, the fact that that our Congress stalled and delayed the voting to send aid to the Sandy, the Superstorm Sandy victims.
Yeah.
Vote on that today.
You know, yeah, that was that's an atrocity that is just
very
unforgivable. You know, it reminds me of, and we were talking about this clip that you played from the show Justified, and. And the way that low to moderate income and disadvantaged whites have been tricked into believing that somehow there is this finite amount of resources and, you know, the other guys are taking all, you know, taking all the goodies and that's not going to leave anything for me. That reminds me of this book called Faces at the Bottom of the Well.
Yeah.
By this guy, Derek Bell.
Derek Bell from Harvard, the one that was on the film with
right.
And one of the things that he posed in that book, and it's an amazing book, and it's a really quick read. It's a short book, but packed with a bunch of great information. And it's not dry. It's a bunch of stories.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he posed was that, you know, the greatest myth or the greatest projection of American strength around the world is this myth that, well, not myth, it's reality, that, and it's an unspoken rule, that if you come from Norway or Sweden or China or Tibet or El Salvador, Nicaragua, if you come from anywhere else in the world and you are not considered black, if you are not a Negro, then you are guaranteed one thing
success.
In this country that you are not guaranteed anywhere else. And it's
that's
not
right.
and it's not success.
Yeah.
It's actually simply the fact that you're guaranteed not to be on the bottom of
the well. That's right.
You
that's
know,
right.
you are guaranteed that there will always be somebody below
above
you.
Yeah.
And that's what these you know, disenfraised whites are railing against.
That's
you know, they don't want to be in any way
under
you know, they've
the
built their entire yeah, they've built their entire mentality for generations
that
has
better.
Been, I may be poor,
but I
ain't
better.
Them.
Yeah, I ain't
you
them.
Know, I'm not one
that's
of them.
That's right. I'm not one of them. That's
and,
right.
And as long as I'm not one of them,
right.
you know, the door will, the someday my door will swing
equal
open.
And, to and, or one of them.
And, right. that, and that's what right. the whole ultra-conservative, right-wing, extremist campaign is about with Obama and his administration. And this was, he's not one of us. He's one of them. And that's
right.
what this whole thing is about, exactly.
And so, you know, we have to combat that, and we have to show, you know, these people who are so adamantly opposed to any type of equality because they feel like it brings them down instead
right.
of brings others
oh,
up.
Right.
We have to oppose them. Now, that the clip that you played, you know, also tickled me because I know those people. You know, and personally, not in Kentucky, the family that I know is in Kansas.
All right.
And if this show reaches Kansas, hey, y'all.
It's international. It reaches around the world.
Yeah, okay.
but they'll know who I'm talking about. And that is exactly, I had a friend of mine who moved from Charlotte out there to be with their family, called me up and said, all I'm hearing, you know, everybody's right wing out here, and all I'm hearing is Obama's coming to take our guns, and Obama's the king, and he's you know, enacting all these laws. And I was like, look, first off, they need a little civics lesson.
Yeah.
The executive branch does not write legislation.
That's right.
You know, he can make suggestions all day long.
Right.
It's Congress who makes those decisions. So first off, they need to get that straight. But you know, we just had a long conversation about all these myths and just
but that's what they feed off. What the ultra conservatives, the extremists, and all of the 1% feed off is the ignorance of the law of the lower class.
Well, I'm my senior producer, Thomas Fortenberry, is from Mississippi.
Okay.
His father used to, I believe, was sheriff at one time there, and his father grew up there, and they're right on the coast. And he says, look, when you leave here, don't even fly back over the state when you come back. He says, get the hell out. And so he hates to even go back there. His brother is out in California, will never go back there. And he tells me about the story about his friends out there that he spoke to. He said they are so wacko at what their beliefs are. He said it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh,
he
said, I have no doubt.
He said that because he was educated. He went to England, was educated, and he came back here. He's well-versed as far as literature and history. And he says, you know, it's unbelievable. So he lives up here now. I mean, but his wife is from there also, but her family is still there. I mean, Thomas is.
Oh, and there's one thing we missed when we're talking about that welfare thing, and this is the most important thing. The biggest welfare gift ever given in this country was just given at the entrance of Barack Obama when he gave and saved Wall Street.
Oh.
That was the biggest welfare gift in this history, and it probably amounted to more than we've gotten in the last 60 years since welfare. But what makes it so bad, they got the money so they can get bailed out to do what they needed to do to get their corporations straight. Not only did they do that, they took the extra money. Instead of providing jobs and training, they put the money in the slush fund so that if this ever happened again, they'll be taken care of. But the people, as they do now, will suffer. But there was no aid for the masses
to bail us out
of this last recession.
Absolutely.
But those people who are complaining about Obama are the ones who are doing most of this propagandizing, this trickery, most of this hollering, making all these dog whistles, saying that he's only caring about the poor and neglecting everybody. But they got the money.
Right.
And now there's very little even left for anybody. They'll never allow him to get that much money again to correct the economic conditions of this country.
Well, they have a major problem because that's why they went ballistic when Elizabeth Warren got elected.
Oh, yes.
They said, and Cordray, who's the enforcer.
Yeah.
They that's because he had appointed Cordray by
executive order?
Executive order.
Yeah.
So the thing is, though, that's why that appellate court said that it was illegal, executive order.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's illegal, everything Bush
and everybody else
been doing for years. But you see, the problem is that's not going to work because the judicial branch can't overrule the executive branch.
That's right.
So, and it's in the Constitution that this is the president's powers. So, now the problem is, only thing this court can do when it goes to the Supreme Court is say, okay, define what a recess appointment is. Because Congress says, the executive order says, not the executive order, the recess appointment order says that he can appoint somebody if the Congress is on recess.
That's right.
So these were recess appointments.
Right.
So they have to say now, well, a recess is if they're out more than such and such a day.
Oh,
right now,
they
go out on vacation and
when
they have one
ready.
Guy come back every day and say,
yeah, we're not in
we're
recess.
In order.
Yeah.
Okay, then 5 minutes later, we're all done for today. You know, that's
right.
Trickery.
Yeah,
so
that's trickery.
Now that's what they can do. Okay.
Yeah.
But you see, that's only going to hurt them down the road
they
get in office.
Exactly.
So the problem is, and that's the reason why I believe, and we're getting a little tangent here, but I want to make this point. That's the reason why I believe that Reed did not want to go along
with the
filibuster
change.
Rule,
yeah.
Because if the Democrats are ever out of the Senate, you know these guys will be running this thing in the ground. 51 votes,
yeah.
That's all they need? Forget it. It'll be done. Every vote, whatever, will always be passed. So they had to massage it a little bit, but he kept the 60-vote rule. So we have to see whether or not we're going to get slapped by the Republicans with this. Someone needs to have a come-to-Jesus moment and say,
yeah.
Look, we can't go over the cliff because
yeah.
If we're out of power, they're in power right now. If that's the case and they go and pass that law with 51 votes instead of 60, the Democrats, they won't get nothing. That everything Obama goes through will get done. So do they want that? I don't know. But you see, the Progressive Party is in a position right now where they don't like the government. And they would rather kill everything in the government, like the film V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. What was the whole thing there? Destroy everything and build it from the ground up. We can't do that.
No, you can't
with
300
that. Million people in this country.
No, you can't
when,
do that.
If this was 1776, yes.
Right. Yeah.
But not
but you can't do
2013.
That. No.
You can't destroy
and
everything.
And that's the idiocy of what they're thinking.
Right.
They want to just redo the whole.
They
want to
redo the whole.
It.
Right. Okay.
It took 200 years to get to this point. How
that's
you
right.
Know? Yeah.
Okay. Well, my understanding of the Progressive Party, their stance on government, is that if they, and this is just what I understand of their strategy, is if they slow government down, if they clog it up, if they make it look ludicrous, their goal ultimately is less government.
Right, less government.
Right?
That's
because
what they want.
What
yeah.
the government does is the government steps in and actually
protects,
regulates.
Right,
and
regulates.
Supposed
right.
to protect the people.
Right.
And these are a bunch of corporations.
That's
and
right.
Polluters.
Right,
and,
the one percenters. Yeah.
Yeah, these are a bunch
the
of people
thieves.
The thing that they want most is less regulation,
government oversight
out there. Yeah,
right.
You know, fewer people
yeah.
actually watching where the hands go.
Right, and the masses don't realize that government oversight is to protect them,
right,
to keep them safe, you know,
well,
and to keep the corporations
you know,
from taking advantage of.
When you're sitting, and every day, all you hear is how bad the government is.
Yeah,
how horrible they are.
Yeah.
Well, the government is our military.
Right.
They don't do too bad.
Right.
Your Social Security check,
don't
like
do
we
too
were
bad.
Talking about in
yeah.
Justified.
Right.
That's not too bad you're getting.
That's right.
Your disability check.
Not too
That's
bad.
That's not too bad you're getting it. All
yeah.
that would disappear.
That's right.
But they can't see the forest for the trees.
That's
because
right.
they have blinders on and they've only heard the drumbeat.
Right.
As Goebbels said, say it loud enough
that's
and
right.
long
enough.
It don't matter if it's the truth.
Well,
the
that's
masses
right.
will start
believe.
To believe.
That's right.
So what does the Action North Carolina, what is their main, their agenda that they would like to see sort of steered the people in a direction? What direction?
Okay. Action NC, like a like I was saying before on the first show or where we got cut off. That Action NC is we are a grassroots community organization. We're community organizers. We're based here in Charlotte. We have an office in Raleigh that does all of our legislative work. In Raleigh, they watch the Hill and they tell us about legislations that's coming down and what legislators are doing. And then in Durham, they also do community organizing. We do a lot of tenant outreach. We work basically to help the low to moderate income community. Now, these are the people who rely on unemployment benefits, who make lower wages and would benefit the most from wage increases.
Mm-hmm.
We work on protecting the social safety net, like Social Security, disability, Medicare, Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
We work on immigration rights and immigrant rights. We are the ones who are putting together these protests and stuff that you're hearing about all over, where we protested Bank of America, we protested at the Democratic National Convention, and you know, these are all our main goal is to raise awareness, to get people educated, to get people involved, you know, because it's my fervent belief, and I believe that it's that of my executive director, Pat McCoy, that that
oh, I thought you were
going to
say Pat McCrory. I was gonna
very close, very close, close, but very
too close.
Pat
okay.
McCoy, that the people, you know, in the Constitution it says we the people, well,
that's
that
right.
is you, you know, out there listening in radio land, the people need to be involved. All right. Now, in 1776, or you know, right before that, we you know, went to war with an empire over taxation without representation. If you are not involved in your government, you are still being victimized, and you are still experiencing taxation without representation.
That's right.
You know, a lot of the people who listen to this are might be African American, and it would might surprise people to know that or to realize that. For many years, public schools, especially colleges and universities, were not open to African-American students. But African-Americans were
paying
taxes
that's right.
that were funding these schools that they were not allowed to
exactly.
to take part in or to utilize. So taxation without representation isn't some 1700s idea. It's something that does happen and is happening today if we do not participate. And it's a slippery slope from you know, where you have economic freedom, where you have opportunity, where you have the ability to raise your children in a healthy environment. It's a slippery slope, and it's very easy to be lulled to sleep.
That's right.
You know, and forget that these things have to be fought for, and they have to be fought for constantly.
And I want to say something about that because that's what I was working for.
About 2 minutes.
Okay. Not only does the fact that we got to worry about it because of the fact that that's the position, the condition that we're in now, but we got to fight now to make sure those don't exist in the future. Just like those who fought in the civil rights movement, those who fought in the World War, they fought to make it better for now, not just for then. And that's what we're doing with Action North Carolina, Democracy, NAACP, African American Caucus. All of us are fighting now to put things in place to try to prevent a reversal of fortune and make sure that we at least have the same things in place in the future that we have now for our children.
Right, and this fight continues on February 9th. In Raleigh, at the State House grounds, through HK on J, the historic Thousands on Jones Street that we're promoting.
And I'd like to end this conversation, part two, and we will pick it up
tonight. Tonight, in this election, you, the American people, reminded us that while our road has been hard, while our journey has been long, we have picked ourselves up. We have fought our way back. And we know in our hearts that for the United States of America, the best is yet to come.
That's right. The best is yet to come. That's what our president said. The best is yet to come. You just heard a second part two of our interview with Reverend Kodjo Nantambu, and who is the president of the Charlotte Branch NAACP and pastor of the Green Oak Missionary Baptist Church here in Charlotte. And the other party was Louis Rodriguez, who is the community organizer for Action North Carolina, also here in Charlotte. And they were... you know, featuring and their main cause was to tell us about HK on J, which will be taking place on February 9, 2013, in Raleigh at Shaw University. That's where they're starting from. Be there at 9:30. And if you need to know about transportation from Charlotte, you can call Reverend Kodjo at 704-534-7853. Or you can call Louis Rodriguez, the community organizer for Action North Carolina, at 704-625-4050. And this is going to be some event. And if you want to call in and speak to me or any of the guests, we'll have one in a few minutes. You can call the 646-716-5000. 5242. This is the last word. And I was talking about, I tell you, we were doing what's trending. Well, there's some stuff that's been trending while we were listening to that great interview. Mr. Scott Brown of Massachusetts has said he is not going to run. He's not going to run. Can you believe that? Well, they can kiss that place, that Senate seat, which the Republicans might have had a chance of winning. I don't think so, but they can kiss that good guy. That's one more senator, which will be leaning toward, going towards that 60. That's what we need. So, Marky, who's going to be running for that seat, Democrat, longtime Democrat in the area, looks like he's a shoo-in for that. And Hillary Clinton is giving her farewells to the Foreign Service Department as Secretary of State. I believe Senator Kerry has already been sworn in a private ceremony earlier today. And he's coming in, I'm telling you, he's got some major problems. They are fighting like I don't know what in Iraq now. Not Iraq, I'm sorry, Egypt. They have a curfew, and the people are disobeying the curfew. They're out in the streets. So we'll be getting an update on that as time goes by. And, you know, it's really, and that's only one of the things. Iran has said they're going to go on and start enriching some more. The president has already warned them about it. I mean, how many times do you have to be warned? And we don't want to take humor out of action, but this is going to come to a head here. I just don't believe that these people are stupid enough to force us to take out their reactors. I just can't believe they are that stupid. But maybe they are. Maybe they are. We had Senator Chuck Hagel coming from the committee, which should endorse him, even after all the nonsense, the Secretary of State. Senator Hagel, let's look who's on this committee, maybe some of the people. Senator Deb Fischer from Nebraska, Progressive Party member. James Inhofe, Progressive Party member, Oklahoma. Saxby Chambliss from Georgia, Progressive Party member. John McCain from Arizona, Progressive Party member. Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, Progressive Party member. There isn't one of those people I mentioned that has half a brain. John McCain did, but it's become bitter and senile and just lame. He needs to retire, sit in a wheelchair, go into a nursing home, and he'll be fine. He's not going to run for office anymore. He's trying to hold on. He wants to die in office. That's what he wants to do. He is complete lame. But this guy, Inhofe, from Oklahoma, he is just an apparent moron. He is just a moron. He's as bad, but this guy Brown from Georgia, who is a doctor, who said recently that he was lied to while he was in medical school about where children came from. He was lied to. They lied to him about the reproductive process. They lied to him about science. They lied to him about abortion. You need to choose the people very carefully that are going to take care of you medically. You need to choose these people. You need to just don't take your friend's advice. Oh, this guy is so great. He's been in our family for years. You need to choose the people that you go to, because you too can have a doctor who's a complete moron. Just because he's a doctor, that does not mean they are not a complete and utter moron. It doesn't mean that. These people, I mean, it is so unbelievable. It is so unbelievable that they could say the things they did, and they got through medical school. How the heck does that happen? How does that happen? I mean, I just can't fathom it. These people, but, you know, it's either, I just can't believe they're all morons. But they think that you are. They think you all are morons. That they can tell you anything whatsoever, and you'll believe them. Yes, sir. They believe they can tell you anything, and you will just go along with it. I am sure when these conservative, ultra-right-wing morons like Akins and Murdoch and Brown and Inhofe, when they get home and have a couple of drinks, they say to themselves, you know, how the heck does it get so easy to tell these stupid people something? And you know what? I love the show. And have I played? I don't think I played that. We talked about in the NAACP clip about Justified. And the clip about people believing that they'll believe anything. They'll believe anything. And they believe, we have so many people out there, Mitt Romney screwed over the 47%. But a lot of this 47% people are screwing themselves over because they're completely clueless. And they hate the president so much, they would do anything in their power not to have a black man in the White House. Now, if anybody's seen the series Justified, and you, but maybe you missed the portion that I was talking about in the NAACP film, not the NAACP interview, where the marshal, the protagonist of the story, goes with his boss and somebody else. They're looking for this guy, Waldo. So what they do, they go to this house, and the people are so stupid. They don't understand. These are the same people who would say, oh, no, we need to cut out all these people's disability checks and other checks because they don't need them. But don't cut mine out. This is very short. I just want to play this for you.
We in here for you, Judd.
You got 10 seconds.
This doesn't have to go wrong, son.
Well, that's on you. 5 seconds.
Hey, still, you bet.
Any of you so much as flinch, we're going to put you down. You're going to die right in front of your kin. Is that what you want?
Don't matter to me. Y'all all right with it?
Yep. Never thought I'd live this long.
What's going on out here? It's these perverts. It's chasing me.
You don't look like perverts. Well, maybe that one.
Says they're federal.
We're U.S. Marshals, ma'am.
Marshals? That's fancy. You best go on ahead and state your business.
Just looking for Waldo Truth.
My husband? He ain't here. If you want to leave a means to get in touch when he stumbles home, I'll holler.
But just so you understand, till we meet Waldo, we're going to put a stop to those disability checks.
Hell, you are?
Oh,
y'all ain't
going
to take our drop. Lower those goddamn guns. You want to start shooting with my grandbabies right here?
That's right. Don't take my drawer. I mean, I'm telling you. You know, take somebody else's drawer, but don't take my drawer. This is what we're fighting in this country for. This is what is going on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it gets worse. I tell you, it gets worse. And what do we have right now? We have Grace Lee Galloway.
Hey there. Hi, Michael. How are you?
How are you doing, Grace?
You know, I'm good. I'm ready for my fight tomorrow with the Council of Review. And, hey, you know.
Well, tell us, what the heck is going on? I didn't have a chance to read all that information you sent me that was going back and forth between whoever, but what's the story?
Well,
yeah?
this has come up before the Council of the Review, and I have to tell you that in order for it to be sent to the Council of Review, it had to pass David Parker. He had to be the one. Yeah. No, he did. I mean, this is the way it works. He had to, if the executive director cannot reach a solution, or she's supposed to try to find a way to mediate, right? If she cannot reach a solution, a mediation process, then she has to send it to the state chair. And the state chair, basically, with his, you know, people, quote unquote, decide whether there's merit or not to go before the Council of Review. Now, well, guess who is the chair? David Parker, the chair.
Oh.
And so, yeah, and so he decided, yes, there's plenty of merit to bring this up before the Council of Review, and he knows darn well there is no merit, but David Parker is just, you know, he wants to make a point, I reckon. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, I don't understand is, how come you were not informed?
No, I was, but I was informed late.
You know, that's what I mean.
If Tammy Brunner could tell David Ford on the telephone that the Council of Review had accepted this thing and when the meeting was going to be, then she could have just as easily picked up the phone and called me. She could have.
Right, absolutely.
Yes, and I pointed that out to her. And her reason or rationale was that the reason why she told David and why she didn't tell me was because she had to make a call to David anyway to tell him something, to correct something that she had, whatever. That's beside the point. The point is that if she had called him for a correction on something, and she had this information about the Council of Review, she should have either A, not told him, all right, or B, if she told him, then she should have, when she hung up from him, picked up the phone and called me to give me the same information that she gave him. That's all I'm asking for. I am simply asking for equal treatment is all I'm asking for.
Well,
and I am not receiving equal treatment.
And her excuse is?
Her excuse is that the only reason that she told David was because she was calling him to correct some information, some false information that she had given him. That's beside the point. That's beside the point. If indeed she was calling him to correct some information, then fine. Correct the information and say nothing else. And let him find out the same time I find out.
Well, neither one of those two things have anything to do with the other. If
that's
she
correct.
Was going to call David, she could have called you.
Yes. So if she was calling him to correct some information, fine, she called, corrected the information. Not a problem. But the thing is, as soon as she decided that she was going to tell him that the Council of Review had accepted, you know, was going to be to hear this thing, then she should have picked up the phone and called me too. That's all I'm saying. That is all I'm saying.
The thing doesn't sound kosher to me.
It isn't. It isn't. I mean, it doesn't pass the sniff test. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
doesn't pass the sniff test. But, you know.
Something wrong with this storyline here.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Twilight Zone storyline.
Well, you know, it sounds like, to me, it sounds like a kangaroo court. But.
Who made this complaint?
The people who made the complaint were David Ford, Ruthie Roberts, Janet Haywood, Jackie Gross, those are the people, and Jim Dudley. Those are the people behind the complaint, okay? However, as you well know, and I've said this on your show, the people behind, the people who gave them the information, all right, and who urged them to do this, with June Mabry, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if Mr. Foster was involved, but I don't know. But I do know June Mabry was heavily involved. And I have an affidavit from John Price stating quite clearly that June Mabry indeed did call him. She called him. He did not call her. She called him to initiate this move. Okay?
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, it is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. So now the thing is that who do you have that's going to come up there and speak on your behalf?
Well, I do have several people from Cabarrus County, but I understand that I know that the Black Leadership Caucus is very upset with this whole thing, and there is a petition out there to A,
yes,
censure June Mabry, and B,
yes,
to drop the charges against me, because, I mean, this is just bogus. This is
well,
just bogus.
How do they get that petition in your hands by tomorrow? I mean, how is that? But see, that
well,
should have been in their hands long
no,
before that.
No, you can. It's quite all right. But when you can get the petition, whoever signs it, it doesn't matter if they get 2,700 copies from 2,700 people with just one signature on it. But you
all
can certainly fax it to Tammy Brunner and fax it to, fax it to Tammy Brunner.
And what's the number?
The North Carolina Democratic Party. Hold on. If you give me a second, I will give you that number. It should definitely be sent. Definitely should be done. It is 919.
821-4778. Okay. How do you spell the last name, brother?
D-R-U-N-N-E-R.
Okay. Tammy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 919-821-4778.
That is correct. Now, there's also, you know, Mr. Slaughter, who is the chair of the Council of Review. Very
right.
Well,
that's right. That's Rich. Oh, you have his fax number?
Yeah.
What is that number? That's Rich. Oh.
It is 336-378-1850.
And that's it, James Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so ladies and gentlemen out there, that's where it needs to go. And we will make sure that the people listening get this, because this is an outrage. We have, for the last, I guess it was, 2.5 years or a little bit more, even before that, because the person who was sitting in as the chair before David Parker was another nitwit who screwed up this Democratic Party in North Carolina.
Let me tell you what, this is a perfect example of cronyism, a perfect example
right.
of a violation of the democratic process, and a perfect
mm-hmm.
example of a display of power, you know, which I thought, honest to goodness, I thought had gone out a long time ago with the
mm-hmm.
Huey Longs, you know, you know what I'm talking about, with the Huey Longs. I thought
Tammany Hall.
I really thought they'd gone out with the Tammany Halls, but evidently no. Well, if there is any hope for the Democratic Party to regain, to come back and to let people who have been disenchanted with the Democratic Party to come back and say, look, all right, you know, we made our mistakes in the past. But now I can see needs to just be put where it's supposed to be put, which is in the toilet.
Well, do you have a procedure, because you should have been set a procedure how things are going to go.
You mean as far as the council review?
That's right.
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
You have
indeed.
Okay. When is this going to be done? Is this going to be done the same time the SEC meeting is being conducted?
No, it's going to be tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
So, and the
at
SEC
the Durham
meeting
Convention
starts...
Center. Mm-hmm. At the
okay,
Durham
so
Convention
the SEC meeting starts at 12 then?
SEC's meeting starts at 12. Now, remember that I have... It's 9 o'clock Council of Review, all right? At 10 o'clock, I have a county chair's meeting. I mean,
right. Did you let them know that?
I told them that. I certainly told them that it was going to be tough for me. And I was hoping that they would postpone it. But, you know, they don't want to postpone it. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine. You know, I will do whatever I can. I'm going to keep my nose clean. I will do what I feel is on the up and up, regardless of what other people want to do.
Okay, now, their whole thing about this is that you violated...
Mm-hmm. The plan of organization.
The plan of
right.
organization. Are they aware of that the national plan of organization supersedes the state...
Look, that is what I'm going to point out. I have to point that out, you know, that it says very clearly that we have to support the President and Vice President Biden. That's
true. You support the President and Vice President before you support
anybody else.
Else.
Yes, that's right. That is correct. That is exactly what it says. Right.
And it says so, right there, our article was Article 5, Section 5 or Section 6, Number C. It says so right there. So, now, all right, saying that they don't get over that hump, what do they have left to them?
Say, I'm sorry, what do you say, Michael?
If they get over, when that hump is thrown back in their face and they see that that dog don't hump, what else
exactly.
do they have? What
I'm
else
not,
do
they have? They don't have anything else. They don't. I mean, by logic, they don't have anything else. By logic, But, you know, I don't know who we're dealing with. I honestly don't. I just found out who the members of the Council of Review are. I just found out today who the members of the Council of Review are. And I said, well, that'll be all right. That'll be just fine. And I don't need to know who the Council of Review members are because I don't need to lobby them because that would not be right, you know. I want them to wake up.
There's nothing right. There's no fairness there's no crying in baseball and no crying in politics. And if you need a lobby, that's what the politics are, is nothing but lobby. So that bugs. So the thing is that it's just like when I was up there with the hearing of the AAC and your friend, your good friend, buddy, June Mayberry, did not back me up because she didn't want to lose me as the president of the AAC. She wanted to keep me on as her vice chair for the 8th District. So she voted no, against me. So, you know, you can't tell who the players are because they're all lying.
You've got a point there. You certainly do have a point there.
And so the thing is, but Jim Slaughter is very fair.
Yeah.
And even though it's not completely his decision, he's still got a vote on it, but he will lead them in the correct direction. But now we've got, and since he is not hired or not fired by the state chair, they sure don't have any influence over
them. Right. Well,
so,
I've heard the same thing about Jim Slaughter, that he is a very fair person and that and that he knows the plan of organization inside out, upside down, and he knows Robert's rules, and he knows all that kind of stuff inside out, upside down.
He's an expert.
The focus meeting tomorrow will honestly be whether I violated the plan of organization or not. Okay.
Right.
That's the claim that these people made, and that's the reason why I should be removed as chair. Okay. Now, in the meantime, I just want you to know, in the meantime, because I have pointed out to the petitioners, the people who want to have you removed, I pointed out to them the fallacy of their argument. Now what they've done is they're saying, well, you're a bad chair because you didn't do this and you didn't do that. Now that they're coming up with all these things. You know, that's not what the petition said.
So now they're going to make stuff.
You cannot remove me because you don't like me. Okay? You cannot remove a chair because you don't think that the chair spent money because the chair refused to give you money. Okay?
Right.
You can't
Absolutely.
Do that. You can't do that. You
and,
know?
And where does it say that in the plan of organization?
Pardon me?
Where does it say that in the plan of organization?
Well, it doesn't. That's the thing. Exactly. It doesn't. Right. But, you know, now all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, you conducted this and you did this and that and the other thing illegally. Really? Well, by whose yardstick?
By whose yardstick? Is absolutely correct. By whose yardstick? Right.
By whose yardstick? Are you measuring that? You know?
Right.
We need to keep it. This is your petition. This is what you're claiming. And I can prove that you're wrong.
Yep.
There is nowhere the plan of organization does it say anything about, quote, official candidate, unquote. Nowhere.
That's correct. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. That's wonderful. Now, so tomorrow now, well, that means you got to leave your house about, 6 o'clock?
I got to leave my house at 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. 6 o'clock in the morning to get up there. And Walter Rogers is going to be up there, too. He said, bless his heart,
yeah.
I just, you know.
Yes. Wait for Walter. Walter said he would try to make it on his, on the show today while you were on, but he was on top of a roof doing shingles at the time, so.
Well, that's, you know, Walter's got only 5,000 things going at the same time. It's amazing how he does it. He can multitask for the best of people. He really, really can. I am still grateful for, I'm very grateful for the guidance and the counsel of Walter and Nancy and, you know, and Antonio Blue. Because here's my next question. Okay, you want to remove me? You're going to remove Antonio. You know, who else are you going to remove? You're going to tell me you can't be mayor of Pittsburgh, you know, of Dobbin Heights?
Yeah, right.
You know?
I don't think they can. Listen, as a matter of fact, I want to know how they can actually remove somebody without bringing charges against them and in an election that was conducted by the people of their constituents.
Well, that's right, because my executive committee sent up a resolution saying very clearly that they, in their opinion, I did no wrongdoing. And in their opinion, they passed a unanimous resolution to keep me on, okay,
mm-hmm.
and let me finish my term.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That is all that we're asking. Just let me finish my term. I am not asking for the moon and the stars.
Is that done with you?
Oh,
is that
yes.
petition goes? Okay, good.
Oh, yeah,
all right.
Absolutely.
Well,
and that's been sent. That was
sent
up to Tammy Brown already. Yes, indeed.
Well, see, this is what I don't understand. So the people who have filed this charge,
mm-hmm.
who are they?
Well, they were the ones who originally voted against me.
Oh, okay, right, because
yeah.
you're accepted.
Yeah,
okay, right,
yeah, yeah,
right.
yeah. They didn't want me to be the chair. Okay,
right.
And the reason why is because, you know, you all know me. I'm forthright and straightforward. I call it like it is. And, you know, they don't like that. And from the get-go, I told them that Larry Kistel needed to become more of a Democrat. Either that or change party.
Yeah, well, you know, Larry Kistel needs to go back and start teaching some more history classes.
Well, you know. but yeah, that's how it was from the very beginning. That's how it was. Ruthie Roberts, she's the one who nominated somebody from the floor. And
mm-hmm.
Jim Dudley seconded it, you know? So these guys, I mean, and Terry Werner, he's another one who was behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So and by the way, Terry Werner, who just recently became an American citizen, burnt the American flag. He burnt the American flag when he was in Belgium. When he was in Brussels, he was one of the people that burnt the American flag. So I want to know, who is more patriotic? Okay?
Well, it's just like these morons in the Progressive Party, Imhoff and Cruz and Hannity and O'Reilly and Limbaugh these clowns who never served a day in this man's army stood post to defend this country, but they will be the first ones to send you, I, and our children off to die in a war.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so now, can we talk about Chuck Hagel for a minute?
Sure, I was getting ready to bring him up, yes.
Let's talk about Chuck Hagel for a minute. First of all,
yep.
Chuck Hagel, the best nominee that Obama
for all seasons.
The
absolutely.
Best. Number one. First of all, he's honorable. Okay, anybody who will publicly tell you that he changed his mind, somebody who will say, look, I was wrong, you know, I was wrong in supporting the war in Iraq, and somebody who can actually express why. This is an honorable man. This is a very honorable man, unlike McCain. Yesterday, what McCain did was absolutely, it didn't look. Let me tell you what it showed. It 1 ounce of honor in his body. Not 1 ounce of honor.
Well, you know, the thing is that, well, no, you're a vet just like I am, and, you know, we're not talking about, and I really hate to talk about somebody, at least he served, but, you know, he served under really conditions, well, he didn't really want to go. He had to go because his father was the vice chair of the Pacific Fleet. I mean, he came in Iraq at the Naval Academy. He almost blew up the daggone carrier that he was stationed on.
That is exactly right. And you know the injuries that McCain suffered where he can't raise his arms, they weren't from being prisoner of war. That was from one of those planes that he wrecked.
Absolutely. He wrecked a couple of planes.
Yep.
I mean, there's so much about this guy. Absolutely. He is and now he's a bitter, old, dried up prune of a man that got beat, had his ass beat.
And by the way,
a black community organizer.
McCain also made countless public service announcements for the NVA so that he would get better.
Of course. Well, you know, the NVA wasn't going to do anything.
McCain is not a hero. McCain is a daggum hero. McCain's a traitor.
Well, McCain would not have been killed because they knew that his father was the vice chair of the Pacific Fleet, and they did not want that wrath to come down on him. So
and they gave him special treatment because John McCain made public announcements in the genre of Jane Fonda. Okay?
Hey.
He did. For the North Vietnamese, he certainly did.
Well, the thing is that McCain now is a bitter, senile old man.
He is.
And a threat, this man is the one who stood up in front of everybody and said that Chuck Hagel would be
Secretary of Defense.
One of the few people that would be a great Secretary of Defense. And then he wants to change the scenario about the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to make Chuck Hagel say that the surge was great. And everybody and their mother knows it was a complete disaster.
Absolutely.
We're still fighting the war 10 years out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that Chuck Hagel, who originally did go for the Iraqi war, realized it was a mistake and said, "I made a mistake." But he cannot do that.
No, of course not. I mean, his biggest mistake was getting Sarah Palin, for God's sake. Right?
anybody that picks Sarah Palin as their vice president needs to have his brains checked. He was senile then. This is a man that would have put us under the thumb of a complete moron.
Yep.
A complete moron.
Yep.
And he said he used the words, it was bad judgment. He told that to the face of Chuck Hagel, who was on the ground, not like him, safe on a carrier until he, crashed one of his planes again, who was shot twice, but I think between him and his brother, have four Purple Hearts, and a couple of Bronze Stars. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, this is and you want to look down at Chuck Hagel because Chuck Hagel was a sergeant. No,
Chuck Hagel is an honorable man.
Which
is a heck of a lot more than I can see from McCain. I mean,
absolutely, without a doubt. And it's a complete outrageous. It's completely outrageous what he said to. What do you call it? Where he started lying about Susan Rice. That was another time McCain lied. I mean, I just can't believe how off the rails McCain has gotten. He has gone completely off the rails.
And you know, here's the sad thing. The sad thing is McCain at one point in time was actually a halfway decent guy. He really was. I mean, you talk about selling out. The guy has sold out. He sold out the country.
Unbelievable. He sold, and it wasn't even for a few pieces of silver because his wife is rich. He don't need the money.
Mm-hmm.
He don't need the money. He sold out because he wanted to. He knew this was going to be his last hurrah.
He also divorced his first wife to marry Cindy. His first wife had been in a car accident, and when he was a prisoner of war, his first wife fought like hell to get him released. And then she was in a car accident. He comes home, and all of a sudden, you know, she's an invalid, and so he decides, I don't think I want to. Maybe not so much.
Let me let you hear what Chuck Hagel just told you. What an honorable man this man is. Just listen for me.
I saw it from the bottom. I saw what happens. I saw the consequences and the suffering and the horror of war. So I did question a surge. It wasn't an aberration to me ever. I always ask the question, is this going to be worth the sacrifice? Because there will be sacrifice. In the surge case in Iraq, we lost almost 1,200 dead Americans during that surge and thousands of wounded. Now, was it required? Was it necessary? Senator McCain has his own opinion on that, shared by others. I'm not sure. I'm not that certain that it was required.
See, that is what I call a hero. I call him a hero.
Here's a person who you now know as the Secretary of Defense, all the way at the top, that he is looking down at the grunt.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't looking at the colonels or the generals looking out for that. They can handle themselves.
Yep.
He's looking at the grunt. And let's just listen to what McCain said to Hagel.
Were you correct or incorrect when you said that the surge would be the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam? Were you correct or incorrect? Yes or no?
My reference to the surge being the most dangerous.
Senator Hagel, the question is, were you right or wrong? That's a pretty straightforward question.
I
would like to answer whether you're right or wrong, and then you are free to elaborate.
Well, I'm not going to give you a yes or no answer on a lot of things today.
Well, let the record show that you refused to answer that question. Now, please go ahead.
Well, if you would like me to explain... I
would like an answer, yes or no.
Well, I'm not going to give you a yes or no. I think it's far more complicated than that. As I've already said, my answer is I'll defer that judgment to history. As to the comment I made about the most dangerous foreign policy decision since Vietnam was about not just the surge, but the overall war of choice going into Iraq.
He's already made a judgment about the surge, sir, and you're on the wrong side of it.
Now, what side is this moron talking about? The war is a complete disaster. We never should have been there. They didn't find one single thing, not a thing that they said was there.
Yep.
No reason for us to go in there. No reason. No reason whatsoever. And here's the thing that's really bad about this. None of the things that they talked about, that fool Graham or McCain or any of those other morons on that in that committee hearing, had anything to do with the Secretary of State's, Secretary of Defense's policy. The Secretary of Defense does not make policy. The president
does. That's right.
So no matter whose fault it was, no matter whose side you were on, means jack. Because he listens and obeys the president's line. End of story. So I don't care, and a mistake, who's going to prove? The mistake is already proven. McCain, you're an idiot. Lindsey Graham, you're an idiot. You were wrong.
Right, right.
I mean, it's completely ludicrous.
Well, Michael, I do have to run. It was a pleasure, as usual, and I am going to keep you informed as to what happens tomorrow.
Give me a call when you get out of that slash and burn.
I'll do it. Okay, Michael. You take
all
care
right.
now.
I will take care. You too.
All right. Okay.
Keep it going. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And that was Friday night special, as usual. That's the Grace Lane Galloway. And she will be telling us. If you call me tomorrow, we'll find out what was going on up there at the Council of Review. Okay. I didn't get into a couple of these things. I'm waiting for a call right now, and I don't know why the call has come in. They were having a problem with the, I don't know why. Keep getting the signal, there's a problem online. But we'll see. So this is, you've heard the McCain's tribute to Hegel. Well, let you listen to this other guy. This other guy. Unbelievable. Lindsey Graham. He's another, I don't know what. I just don't know. Well, Lindsey Graham, he's trying to cover up everything that he hasn't done. Just listen.
Name one person, in your opinion, who's intimidated by the Israeli lobby in the United States Senate.
Well, first...
Name one.
I don't know.
Well, why would you say it?
I didn't have in mind a specific person.
Name one dumb thing we've been goaded into doing because of the pressure from the Israeli or Jewish lobby.
I have already stated that I regret the terminology.
Now, he wants him to name one dumb thing that any senator has done because of the so-called Israeli lobby. Now, how the heck is he supposed to answer this? How the heck is he supposed to answer the question? Oh, yeah. Let me see. I want to name you. I'm moving around here for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on just a minute. Yeah, it got a little dark here. I had to turn on some lights here. Yeah, well, you know, that's just like a question. Do you still beat your wife? Every one of these regressive party members bow down to the Israeli lobby. That's why they call it a lobby. That's why they call it a lobby, because they lobby for you to do what they want you to do. They give you money. Just like the oil lobby. Just like the military lobby. Just like the car lobby. Just like the teachers lobby. And here's the thing. You needed to watch Graham when he was saying this. Because Graham, when he was sitting in his chair, was screaming back and forth because he was lying through his teeth. That's how you tell somebody's lying. He was squirming back and forth like some dead-going snake that was caught in a trap and didn't know how to get out. I mean, it was pathetic. It was a pathetic performance by Graham. And, you know, there's a, on my website, I give you the who served in the military, prominent Republicans who served. And, you know, he's one of the people that have written down he served, but, you know, he actually did nothing. He was down in, I believe, South Kakalaki, South Carolina, and never left because he was in the lawyers group down there. Yes, he was with the lawyers. And he never went out of this country, never left these shores. Never left these shores. He stayed down there. And he had on his website at one time that he served. And you see, now, let's get things straight here. I don't care if you served in the military or not. But don't put the bull out there that you're the big man on campus because you served. And you didn't. Don't put that bull out there like this clown, Junior. George W., who was in a daggone restricted National Guard unit that was only used for junk, for spare parts, for planes that were in Vietnam. Because he flew in a, the people who don't know, a 102 dot, Delta Wing dot. It was obsolete, because I went in the same time he did. That plane was obsolete. F-4s were coming online, and they were getting rid of all those 102 pilots. So he got into a unit that was already full. And when he got into that unit, he knew doggone well he wasn't going overseas because they weren't sending any more 102s overseas. So, you know, and the thing that I'm still looking for is DD-214. I got 50 copies of mine upstairs in my attic right now. You tell me this man has no copy of his DD-214? There's no copy of his DD-214 at records? Because that's what they're saying. They're just lying through their teeth. These people are just chicken hawk cowards. And Lindsey Graham is one of them. A chicken hawk coward. Just like the Senator Shelby from North Carolina. And John Kyle from Arizona, and John Cornyn from Texas, and Tim Hutchins from Arkansas. I mean, you know, these people just lie through the, and then you got these other so-called old war hawks, neocons, Elliot Abrams, Paula Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, Doug Fife, all these guys. They're not worth, you know, let me play this for you. This I love. This is my man, Colonel Nathan Jessup, and he will tell you what it is and what it means to serve, because he's been there. He's been on that wall.
Your orders are always followed. So why would Santiago be in danger? Why would it be necessary to transfer him off base?
Santiago was a substandard Marine. He was being transferred.
not what you said. You said he was being transferred because he was in grave danger.
That's correct.
You said he was in danger. I said grave danger. You said, is there
any other... I recall what I said.
I can have the court reporter read back to you.
I know what I said. I don't have to have it read back to me like I'm...
Yes,
why did you orders? Colonel?
Sometimes men take matters into their own hands.
No, sir. You made it clear just a moment ago that your men never take matters in their own hands. Your men follow orders or people die. So Santiago shouldn't have been in any danger at all, should he, Colonel?
You snotty little bastard.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object! When it went bad, you cut these guys loose! Your Honor, you have more than just trying to...
Answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to. You wrote the code red.
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did!
Please, the court, I suggest the members be dismissed so that we can move to an immediate Article 39A session. The witness has rights.
Captain Ross.
Jack?
The members of the court will retire to an anteroom until further instructed.
All rise!
What the hell is this? Colonel, what's going on? I did my job. I do it again. I'm going to get on a plane and go on back to my base.
You're not going anywhere, Colonel. MPs, guard the Colonel.
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess John McCary thought he was Tom Cruise and Chuck Hader was Colonel Nathan Jessup. Not exactly. Not exactly. I demand that you tell me the answer right now, as McCain said to Chuck Hader. And what did Senator Hader tell him? He got my answer. I'm not answering you right now. Because what you're saying, that reality is now, and we all know that the surge worked, is an absolute lie, bitter old man. This is the same Chuck Hagel that McCain wanted, said he would make a great Secretary of State. So all of a sudden, he won't make a great Secretary of State. Well, you know the reason why? Because that Chuck Hagel realized sometimes in life you make mistakes and you have to admit them. And this was one of the biggest mistakes of his life. This was a huge mistake. Because, just like Colonel Nathan Jessup says, mistakes cost lives. And in this case, The surge costs 1,200 lives, additional lives, besides the lives that were lost before the surge. So we have a problem here. And what did they discuss? The bitter old man. And you know, and before I get any calls on this, hey, you know, McCain did get the Bronze Star and the medal, the Air Medal. But he got those only because he was the son of a vice commander of the Pacific Fleet. He graduated last in his class in the Naval Academy and was a complete screw-up. And would have been court-martialed if his father wasn't who he was. So, hey, but he served. Reluctantly, possibly, but he served. Unlike the clowns, 95% of them, the preachers and pundits, like George Will and Paul Jadot and Bill Bennett and Pat Buchanan and Rush Limbaugh and John Wayne and Pat Robertson and Bill Kristol, Sean Hannity, Ken Starr, Anton Scalia, Clarence Thomas, Ralph Reed, Michael Medved, Charlie Daniels, Ted Nugent. Oh, there's a winner, Ted Nugent, who my grandson said, oh, he pooped in his pants. Yes, he did that. He was so scared. He pooped in his pants. So, you know, we got these people out there that are just out there. Simple as that. They're just out there. See, I do a call on the email. If the information is not right in my inbox. Okie dokie. So, therefore, let's see. I was supposed to send somebody something, and like a dummy, I didn't do it. See, I'm admitting I made a mistake here. That's right. And Webb Thomas not here. I just screwed up. I'll just hold on just a minute, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be right with you. Need to send this out, so that's it. Okay, now, the thing is that we're going to go over this list of who served and who in the military served and blah, 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 blah. We'll do that when we have a bigger call, Miss. And I thought I got that, and it's just unbelievable, isn't it? I'm getting phone calls here, ladies and gentlemen, on my PDA, and because I chewed up and didn't give out the phone number, 646-716-5242, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope I can still get them in here. So we'll see. Okay, you still didn't. But anyway, getting back to Chuck Hagel, he is such a man. He is a man's man, a soldier's man. So everything also that they were saying, why they went ballistic on him, on Chuck Hagel yesterday, wasn't about Chuck Hagel. It wasn't about Chuck Hagel. It was about the black man in the White House. That's what it's about. So, you know, that's what it's about. It's about nothing else but the black man in the White House. So anytime we're seeing, well, why is that guy saying this about the president? And why is he saying this about the president? It's because that the president is black. Don't anybody tell you any other reason. That is the reason. That is the reason, ladies and gentlemen. That is the reason. And until we get a hold of that, until we understand that, it's just, you know, not worth it to even talk about. This is the entire problem. This is the entire problem. You have Lindsey Graham. You have Lindsey Graham talking about Iran. You have What about Graham talking about that Clinton got away with murder because of Benghazi? She got away with murder. Now, they normally say that to someone who committed the crime. Is this correct? Graham is still searching for that silver bullet, that testimony that will implicate Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton in the Benghazi attack. So maybe Benghazi, the attack, was done by Clinton and Obama together in ninja suits. I think this is what really happened. And that's what they're trying to hide. Barack and Hillary and SEAL Team 6 did this like a secret group. That's what they did. They went stealthily in there, and they attacked the embassy themselves. So this is what they really did. They did it. So I think this is what we need to find out. We need to really find out whether or not it was Hillary and Barack that did this. I think this is what we need to find out. Did Hillary and Barack attack Benghazi dressed up like ninjas? We don't know. This could be. Ain't nobody talking about Benghazi anymore. Benghazi was a secret CIA. Well, it's not even secret. It's all out. It was a CIA base. That's why it's a listening post. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It was a listening post. That's what it was. And then he's still talking about it. He says here that I haven't forgotten about Benghazi. Hillary Clinton got away with murder, in my view. And I'm going to hold up the Secretary of Defense until Leon Panetta comes in front of me. Graham now insists that Panetta would have to provide answers on what that night happened to the Armed Services Committee. What's more, he told Fox News and host Greta Van Susteren, or another winner, her face is so tight from the plastic surgery, her eyes are getting ready to pop out of her head. Graham now intends to place a hold on Chuck Hagel until he gets the answer. So it wasn't about the nonsense that Graham was asking Chuck Hagel yesterday about Iran. It wasn't about the nonsense that the bitter old man McCain was asking. Well, it might have been with his name because, you know, he's senile, so he doesn't know Chuck Hagel from, Nadia Comaneci. I mean, he's so wacko. None of these things are in the privy of the Secretary of Defense. It don't matter if he hates Israel. It don't matter if he hates the British Empire. It don't matter because they, as a Secretary of Defense, does not make policy. Only the president. And if they don't follow what the president wants, the president will fire their ass. What is wrong with these morons? And don't go there and listen to all this. They just want to posture They want to get at this president any way possible because there's no real, all they got to do is say, I don't want it. But see, they don't want to say that I want to hold it up. They want to give a reason. But if you're that stupid to believe that reason, then you're stupid. Because the defense secretary, does not make policy. And the part of this that these people don't understand is an advisory, advise and consent. They have to work for the president. They don't work for this Senate Armed Service Committee. Senate Armed Service Committee might have oversight on the policy, but they don't have oversight on the individuals. This has gone too far. The last 20 years, this is really going over the deep end. That's not the job of the House and the Senate. There's an executive branch, and there's a legislative branch. Your legislative branch advises and consents with the executive branch. But they don't tell the executive branch who to pick. It don't work that way. And it should not work that way. Now, they think this man's a communist. He's a spy. Well, they say that. He's a spy. And we know he's going to steal all the secrets and give it to the Iraqis or the Iranians or the North Koreans or the Russians. Say that. Don't tell me. Give me an answer. Did you think that surge worked or not? It don't matter what he thinks if the surge worked or not. It has nothing to do with what his job is as a Secretary of Defense. Because when this president, President Barack Obama, went after you-know-who, the tall man, the Secretary of Defense didn't want to do it. He said no. The Vice President said no. The Secretary of State said no. They all said no. Of course, there were some that said yes, but they said no. As a matter of fact, I believe there were more no's than yeses in his cabinet. And he said, we're going. So it didn't matter what they said. He was advised. He was advised by his cabinet, which is how it's supposed to be done. Let me tell you the pitfalls, Mr. President. That's what they're supposed to do. The president, the buck stops with the president. It doesn't stop with anybody else, but with the president. So when these people get on here and posture, when they get on front of the television cameras and posture, you know, if it was a television there, this wouldn't be going on. It wouldn't be going on. But they want to show their bona fides. They want to show how tough they are. Well, they're not tough. Because they're talking about, they're trying to bring all this stuff down on Chuck Hagel about what went on with Benghazi, what went on in Iraq, what you said about the Israeli lobby, what you said about the oil lobby, what you said about the wheat lobby, what you said about the milk lobby. He don't make those rules. All he does is carry out orders. So you blame the man who brings you the information, but you don't blame the man who did it. The man who did it, who said yes, who got Osama bin Laden, was told no by most of his cabinet. Don't do this. Don't send people on the ground. Sit off 50 miles out, lob some cruise missiles and some drones in there. But the president said, hey, we need to get some DNA of this sucker. We ain't doing that. We're going to send our best team in there. They will get it done because they have assured me they will get it done. And they did get it done. And these people have been apoplectic ever since. Because they let this war go on for 12 years now. 2001, this is 2013, September would be 12 years. When they could have got this sucker in the mountains in the first 3 months of the Afghan war. But then old Georgie Jr. would not have had an excuse to go into Iraq. He would have had no excuse. So he didn't do it. He had a meeting, so our interview with Mr. Hector Baker has to be rescheduled. So I will speak to him later. That was going to be very good interview with Mr. Hector Vega. What we'll do is that we will, matter of fact, if this was my fault, I screwed this mix up here, and I was supposed to have Mr. Vega on, and I screwed it up. I did not text him. I did not send him the info. Well, in time, anyway. So what we'll do is we will continue with my lambasting of Mr. Lindsey Graham. You know, here's what else he says about Chuck Hagel. Hagel asked, Graham asked Hagel, would he would support the measure, would he support a measure, the measure that was said in the back of the, let's see, what is this says in here? It was a measure urging the administration to apply the label as a terrorist organization to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And Graham voted yes, along with nearly every other Republican. Hagel voted no, along with 21 other senators, all but one of them Democrats. The only GOP to side with Hagel was Richard Lugar. Oh, by the way, who is Richard Lugar? In case someone asks you who Richard Lugar is, Richard Lugar, at the time when the Bush administration was weighing the idea of labeling the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization, at the time, Richard Lugar was the head of the Foreign Relations Committee, the same committee that Lindsey Graham is on right now. Richard Lugar was there for over 36 years. Richard Lugar knows more about foreign affairs, and he's a Republican, than all the Republicans on the Foreign Affairs Committee right now, and probably more than any Republican in office right now. But he was considered too far to the left by the Tea Party. Never you mind that he had a 90-something% rating from the Conservative Party. Never you mind that he had a 99% rating with the NRA. Oh, by the way, guys, he was fair. He listened. And by the way, he was a very good friend of Barack Obama when Barack Obama was senator. And he helped show him around. And I guess that didn't go over too well with the teabaggers. So they ran somebody against him. That person won. but lost the general. Because you know who that person was? There's no such thing as abortion, Murdoch. That's who it is. God said, sometimes you need to get pregnant if you're raped. That's who is the one who beat Luther. So they don't have any people that are within their right minds now. Oh, my Big Ben is Benning. It's 5:30. So I just wanted to, that's a little aside. But anyway, you know, so yesterday Graham was firing ahead over this nonsense that happened, I don't know, 2007. This is 2012. He's talking about garbage that happened in 2007. Are you kidding me? So he says, if this ever comes up again, this measure to label the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist, would you vote the same way again? And you know the thinking, the very well-knowledged Graham said, Hegel said, he said, I would have to know what the president is doing. I would have to know from the president what they were doing. But again, Hegel said before Graham cut him off, you know, you read the paper, you watch TV, you got any doubts about what they're doing? Graham said, they're expanding terrorism. They're trying to intimidate their own people. They're the instrument of theocracy to oppose their own, oppress their own people, and they're the biggest supporter of regime to keep them in power so they can get a nuclear weapon. Hegel said, time changed. I recognize that. And yes, I would reconsider, Hegel said, after being cut off again. The Revolutionary Guard, unlike most terrorist organizations on the State Department's list, is more thoroughly integrated into the Iranian political and social structure, with senior officers serving in government positions. Hegel maintains that Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps is not a terrorist group, but rather than Iran, it's a state sponsor of terrorism, and that the guard is part of the government. Oh, let's don't do any nuances here. Let's don't think about what these various countries do. Let's don't worry about that. Let's just look at the face of it and see what they're doing. They stuck their tongues at us. We got to chop off the tongue so they don't stick at us anymore. Well, you know, sticking out a tongue at you is better than having 1,200 of our soldiers killed with some whim. Better than having 50,000 soldiers wounded by invading another country. You walk softly and carry a big stick. You don't chop heads off at everybody that comes down your way, because the same people you meet on the way up are the same people when you meet on the way down. You never know when you need their help. Oh, we don't need any help because we are the U.S. of A. Yes, that's true. we're bigger and better than everybody else. So why do you have to prove it every time you walk into another country, every time you walk down the street? If you know you're good. You know, just like Muhammad Ali used to say, hey, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I don't have to prove it because every time I get out there, I prove it. I don't have to say it over and over and over and over. It's like I need to convince myself. The same thing with this Sean Hannity and O'Reilly and Ted Nugent and all these other suckers in the Rush Limbaughs have to brag about how big their guns are. Of course, they got to keep talking about it because the real gun that they carry is only a water pistol. That's why Rush Limbaugh has been married 6 times. The beached whale, the beached whale only has a water pistol, and that water pistol is got a stopper in it, probably. Or just closed up because of non-use. Well, since we've dragged this Lindsey Graham, what I was going to talk about with Hector Vaga, who is the director for the Community Action North Carolina, was this article in the National Review, and we'll talk about it, I believe, next week. I might be away because my wife has just informed me that we had a death in the family, so I might have to be going out of town, but we'll see. They talk about this amnesty. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about this clown down from the U.S. Senate. Does anybody know this guy, Lou Barletta? He said in he called into the Washington Bureau, and I don't know which one it is, but he said, U.S. Representative Lou Barletta, known for being tough on illegal immigrants, described the U.S. Senate bipartisan efforts on immigration reform as amnesty. So, I don't know. Do we think it's amnesty? Well, we'll talk about that with Victor next week. Let's see what we got in the phone here. Hello there.
Hello, sir.
Hello there. Well, it's our long lost. Please! I just looked up and saw TV and looking at this complete moron, Ted Cruz, from Texas.
What are you saying? Amnesty or not to amnesty? Is that the question?
We're gonna be talking about that to tomorrow about because I'm gonna not tomorrow next week sometime I believe. I depends on what goes on with the funeral arrangements. My wife has to go because one of her aunts died, so might have to go down to Charleston next week. But we don't know yet. But I had there's a young man named Hector Vaca, who is the director of the Action North Carolina, and. This is his bailiwick, so he wanted to talk about that, but he got back to me late, and I didn't get back to him before I went on the air, and I never sent him the telephone number. So he had a meeting that he was in, he couldn't get out, so we didn't get connected today, but had a good day.
Another day.
We have got plenty of days, so but I was talking about the chicken hawks who are in the military mindset of let's kill everybody. Long as I don't have to go. And John McCain being a bitter old idiot.
The unbelievable hypocrisy from these guys that, 1 minute someone like Hagel is good enough to be your running your campaign and your choice for Secretary of Defense, and then the next minute, you know, you can't stand the guy.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, what universe do they live in? I think they haven't quite figured out technology yet, and the fact that everything they say and do is taped now. But it's starting to catch up, you know? It's just unbelievable, though.
No, they still don't realize. They're still saying it. They don't. No, see, the problem is they realize it, but their people only watch Fox News. So their people don't get any other news from any other place. So they don't know about what's going on. I'll bet you that some of the people on Fox News don't even know that Osama bin Laden has been caught and been dead. I bet that.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. See, they gloss over things like that, you know, but yeah, they played Bush standing on the deck of the aircraft carrier with, you know, flags behind him for weeks. But, Osama what? Who? Yeah.
Mission accomplished? And we stayed there for another 8 years? I mean, mission accomplished? Well, you know, what did they call? Oh, you know what it was? The mission accomplished was that Junior landed on the carrier without filling up. That was the thing. See, that was the thing.
Well,
see, now I have it. That's what they meant by that. They didn't mean the war was over. They meant he did not throw up on that mock jumpsuit he was wearing when he got out of the plane. It was fine.
Well, you don't know. You know, actually, we never will know because if you remember, he didn't wear the helmet. He just carried it in his hand. Maybe there's a reason for that.
Oh, you said that it went into the helmet?
It may have been a Super Bowl by that time. I don't know.
Holy
but look.
I didn't think of that. That's not, well, because, yes.
Because, you know, in Rove world, all things are possible.
Absolutely.
Just like the fact that, you know, you can have a guy. Look at the president and vice president, for instance. Under the bumper sticker administration, you know, the our flag is bigger than your flag administration. That we had a guy who never served, and then his dad got him a, you know, plum position in supposedly flying jets in a guard unit back home, and he never even went to that. He went partying and hanging out instead. I mean, you remember that whole fiasco. They offered millions of dollars for anybody that could even prove he showed up for duty, and it was never even found. So all of his records are gone, you know, whatever. Then we got Vice President Dick Deferment Cheney. And these guys are, you know, adamantly just brazenly starting wars and pounding the we must destroy everyone and you must live under color-coded fear. You know, it's all war all the time. And they're, you know, get in the bunker. This is it. The end times. You remember, they said this was the Great War starting, which would never end, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But this is all propaganda crap. It's just absolute crap. You know, we've got a president now who not only ending wars, but he's, you know, winning them. And he's not only fighting terrorism, he's winning the battle. He's destroyed all of the Al-Qaeda leadership. And now is into the second tier little groupings that are spun off groups in other locations. I don't understand the whole memory wipe, but, you know, I didn't even like the Obama is so nice that he chooses Republicans to be in his administration. Hey, that's great. He's fair. He's wonderful and balanced. He, you know, has a cabinet of enemies. Whatever you want to say, but this is a guy who, you know, he is choosing one of the head Republicans, a guy who stood hand in hand with McCain, you know, for years, and they hate the guy. They won't, you know, they won't give him 5 minutes of time simply because Obama is the one who says, okay, he's the guy.
Well, you know, it's just like this immigration policy. Was their policy? That was their policy. But Susan said, oh, you mean he likes it? No, we don't want this. We don't want this. No, we can't take this. This is nonsense. We don't want to do this.
Again, I don't, I mean, the hypocrisy really bothers me, though, because I think that we need to hammer it home every day, because it really is the crux of the problem. We've got things like investigations into the scandal of Benghazi, right? When their complaint, their only complaint, you know, when they're up there grilling Hillary, you know, are you really serious? Did you really get a concussion? You know, you crook. When they're grilling her, the only actual complaint they said was, well, you didn't have enough security and enough protection on our embassies, right? But no one calls them on the carpet and says, you know, hey, the only reason we had is when we requested beefed up security, you defunded it and you blocked it. You know, I mean, I don't see how they get away with it time after time after time, but it is really bothersome. You know, they create a problem and then they blame the Democrats for the problem.
Well, you know, the
and hope the world doesn't notice.
You know,
hey, you know, it's
I get about 250 emails a day, and I get somebody says, "Well, how come you didn't read my email? How come I didn't read your email? Was it labeled? Did it come in priority? No. Well, all the emails that come into me that need to be prioritized come in first. Now, they try to get, who was it?
So you're saying that if you were on, let's just hypothetically, if you're on vacation in Crawford at your ranch, and you got an email labeled Bin Laden to attack, you know, but it didn't say priority, you might not have read it. Is that what you?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But
just
see,
kidding.
First you have to be able to read. Now, the thing is that they asked Kerry that. Was it Kerry or who did they ask? No, they asked Clinton that. And Clinton,
right.
She says, well, he said, it came into you. It was addressed to the secretary. She said, yes. All emails are addressed to the secretary.
Yeah. 100,000 a day. You know?
Right. I mean,
but again, you know, doing that Monday, after the fact, hardcore evaluation of something still doesn't, it's pointless and doesn't change facts. An event occurred, you know, but to call someone on the carpet for something you do, it bothers me. It's like, all during the last year of the campaign, they've been saying the Obama economy, you know, like he wrecked it and drove it off the cliff, you know, I mean.
Oh, yeah, he's the one to do that.
And you just can't go around and say it. I know that the Benghazi attack happened on their watch, but again, there's a couple of things. One, the terrorism issue, the problem was created. It existed, you know, as a reaction to something that was done that some say might be illegal or not, but was at least not a very intelligent thing to do, and started a couple of wars attacking, you know, all Islamic people as, you know, Islamo-fascist terrorism horror people. And then you get things like reactions, like, you know, attacks against our embassies and bombings in Turkey and Benghazi and other places. You know, well, these are bad things, but they're reactions to bad policies. And then on top of that, when we say, you know, hey, how were they able to do so? Well, they were able to do so because you don't fund us to begin with, you know? Same way, you know, we have, you know, all these people unable to do background checks because we don't have an ATF, you know? I mean, come on.
Yeah, haven't had a director in 6 years.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, it's
ridiculous.
See, they create problems and then try to blame Democrats for the problems.
Well, you know, it's the thing that's really funny. I was talking about this before you came on, that Graham said that he's a hold up. He wants to see Panetta in front of him before Panetta leaves, or he's going to hold up Chuck Hagel's appointment as Secretary of Defense, because just like Hillary Clinton, she got away with murder. She got away with murder. Graham says Clinton got away with murder on Benghazi. We'll hold Hagel unless Panetta testifies. Well, see, here's the problem. Everybody in the mother, you know, every time that was said to Kerry, you know what Kerry said to him? Did you go to the briefing? And their answer was, no, I didn't go to the briefing. Oh, okay, because in the briefing, it explained everything that went on in Benghazi.
Right.
Oh, then they went to another question like, is it going to rain today?
Yeah.
That was the question.
Well, you know, again, it's operating in the field of ignorance and lies and obscuration, where you have this just, we're going to criticize, complain, and attack policies that we don't even understand nor attend the briefings for, you know. So.
Well, it just, you know, Graham said the other week that he was unsatisfied with Secretary of State Clinton's testimony. He said, I haven't forgotten about Benghazi. Hillary Clinton got away with murder, in my view, and my quest is now going to lead me to the current Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta. See, I said, I want to know who caused this, who did not do it, who didn't do their job. Well, see, everybody and their mother knows that Benghazi's the place was a CIA base. That's why they did not have more troops there, because it was run by the CIA. It was an outlook place.
Right.
It wasn't an embassy. And the thing is that who really killed them? I believe, this is my opinion now, and I think Graham believes that it was President Obama and Hillary Clinton dressed up like ninjas, and they attacked
exactly.
The place themselves.
Exactly.
They did. That's what they're covering up.
And do you know why they went in and had to kill the guy? Because that was where they had buried the body of Vince Foster, and someone had uncovered it. And they had to cut. It was a complete cover-up from start to finish. Now, it's all ridiculous. But listen, Mike, hate to do this to you, but I am arriving at my destination. I am about to go into an event, and I will have to cut this call short.
I apologize greatly. I will speak to you mañana.
Very good, very good. Well, take care, and keep them straight. Talk to you very soon, sir.
We will keep them straight. Goodbye and good luck.
Thank you, sir.
That was Thomas Whitberry, our producer, who's out on the town tonight with his wife. So this is what we got. We got these fools in the Regressive Party who are still talking about, who are stuck on stupid. We're talking about stuff that happened 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. Really, they need to be talking about stuff that happened 12 years ago when they invaded Afghanistan and let that man get out the back door, Osama. But there was one other thing here that, we just, do we have enough time to play this? No, we don't have enough time for that. But I wanted everybody to at least hear what Senator Gabrielle Giffords said about, well, no, I won't play that. I'm going to say that. I'll play to you what Senator Ted Cruz says to Kerry, that Hagel will not fight for this country. Kerry and Hagel won't fight for this country. Just listen to this more.
Okay, we've got two pending nominations, John Kerry, Chuck Hagel, both of whom are very prominently anti-us. Less than and ardent fans of the U.S. military. My view of the military and foreign policy is exactly that of Reagan's, that it should be driven by the national security interests of the United States, that we should go in with clear, defined objectives, overwhelming force, and then, when we're done, get the heck out.
It's the same as Ronald Reagan. Do not serve! Do not serve! Yeah, Ronald Reagan was dressed up in a military uniform because he served 5 minutes as a person in film for the military. But he didn't get shot at. Never left Hollywood. I mean, he didn't get shot at either. But this guy, Cruz, we're going to have a lot of stuff on him next time we talk. We are going to have a lot on this Mr. Cruz. But I just want everybody to know we have about 4 minutes left, and I'd like to tell everybody, hey, it's time. Get out, and before I forget, get out and look at the movies, because we're going to have a talk on the movies. I hope I still should be here. Yes, we're going to talk about the Academy Awards in about 2 weeks, so get out and see the movies. And I want to leave you with one of my great, great songs that I just love. And as the President of the United States said, the best is yet to come. This has been the last word. I'm Michael Lawson. And it's starting to get a little hungry out. Getting a little dark, getting a little hungry. And I'm going to have some crab tonight with a little bit of libation on the side. Okay, everybody. Good luck to you, Grace. What happened to you, Walter? Didn't hear from you. Are you stuck up there on the roof? Come on, Walter. Come on down.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? Think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain the cup dry. Wait till your charms are ripe for these arms to surround. You think you've flown before, but you ain't left the ground. Wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine place. Nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Oh, of a tree of life, I just picked me a plum.